Lord, there's nothing better than you. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your leading. Thank you for what you're going to do yet in this service, because there's nothing better than you. God, may your word, may your spirit continue to speak to us and guide us this morning. Lord, thank you that you turn our graves into gardens. God, thank you for taking the worst and making it good. It is who you are. Father, we thank you. Speak to us this morning, we ask in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. It's powerful. What a presence of the Lord we have this morning, and it's just going to get better. It's been we welcome those who are watching online, and so grateful that you took your time this weekend to worship with us. Pastor Stacy and I have had so much fun with dinners with the pastors, and we had three in our house, three different nights, and it's so much fun to get to know people's stories. Because what we find is often points we're praying at the altar. By the time we get out of here on a Sunday morning, many are gone. Understandable. And so there's just parts we miss being able to actually connect and have conversations. And so we just encourage you, please make sure you take a moment to sign up for a future night, because there's just parts we want to do life together. And so this helps us to honestly, to be the best pastors to you that we can be. And so please make sure that you sign up. And I'm telling you, the last couple nights were a blast. And looking forward to, what night do I get chicken noodles?
Tuesday.
That's Tuesday night. Your pastor will be happy. It's a good night. Just a quick reminder and oversight on our part with announcements. This coming Friday night, make sure this Friday night we have our Calvary United Young Adults group, brand new ministry starting with young adults. And Tara, you're doing phenomenal. I'm just telling you, I was excited on their first night. The number of couples that were here and young adults, make sure you're here this Friday night, 6 to 8 p.m. There is free childcare too. And it's just, honestly, I think it's got one of the most potential of our new ministries that are launching. And there'll be more new ministries launching as God keeps doing a work in you. We'll have some new ministries popping up. And it's just exciting. So this Friday night, make sure you're a part of it. One of the fun parts is we're in this series on the Lord's Prayer. And I'm just telling you, I'm loving where God is leading us. So as we launch into a new year, on what God wants to speak in it through us individually, as a church, taking some new territory in a new season that God wants to lead us in. And this prayer is so perfect because so many parts of it, it is a pattern of prayer to put our hearts in the right spot for that greater work that God wants to do in us, but also in our country, in our area, that is much deeper. And so this morning, we're going to be diving into our prayer. We've been going through our Father, that we can approach our Father, not just my Father, but it's everybody, a God that's accessible to everyone as a Father. And to be able to approach him, to keep his name holy. Man, last week was just amazing that as we worship God, and the presence of God was so real. That's why I'm just loving how God does things. So next Sunday night, make sure you will not want to miss the prayer and praise night next week. Because I just feel like it's going to be another flowing of what we experience today. And each week, anticipate God revealing more of what he wants to do, more of his presence, more of his power every single week. And as we're in a series on prayer, working through the Lord's Prayer, but on prayer, prayer is just not a singular activity. Prayer is not just a private moment of ourselves. There's a corporate nature of what takes place. Your prayer life overflows into the life of the church, or it should. And so when we are praying, when we're dialed in, when we're expecting God to work in my life, guess what? When you start praying, when you start believing, when you start trusting into the muscles and the presence of God, here's what's going to happen. God will, guess what? God listens. He'll answer prayer. And that answered prayer, when given as a testimony, will start to ripple out with such depth that all of a sudden it'll spark another part of our family. Perhaps God could work in my need. Perhaps God will work in my situation. And then we start watching, you can say popcorn answer, popcorn. We watch God just start to reveal himself in a deeper way that he hears, he notices, and guess what? Yes, he will answer your prayer. So we have, in fact, before I really get into our message this morning, I want you to hear a testimony. So is Gene here? Gene Hansen? There you are. Gene is one of our faithful people on Tuesdays. And Gene, I'll just say it publicly, thank you for being part of people that come here every Tuesday, 10 to noon, come and go, and just praying for the needs of the church, and come on up. She's like, I don't know about that. And Gene, thank you for just your faithfulness. I mean, you, Nadine, and Connie, and just, it's, and this is where, as we go in this season, we're going to be really trying to focus our prayers, not only what happens as the groups here on Tuesday, but also where you're praying at home, as we're praying to collectively for God to bring a great awakening to our area. And we're going to watch the tide rise of what God's doing, healing, and moving. And Gene, you have an amazing testimony to share. And I'm so excited that you've agreed to do this. I know this is not your comfortable spot at all. You've always wanted the moment of having a pulpit, didn't you? There you go. Thank you for your willingness to do this, seriously. So would you share with everyone, just kind of give them the story and what God has done?
It's been a long time since I've been up here, probably since Bible quiz days when my kids were young.
Hey!
I have had headaches ever since I was a teenager. So it's like 40 to 45 years going on, and I've asked for prayer at various assorted times, and you know, I've always felt God's peace, but the headaches are still there. So I came up about 6 weeks ago, and I asked for prayer, and it just happened to be Pastor Kurt that was here, and I walked up to him. He gave a short, concise prayer, which is exactly how I do it, and the headaches are gone. I have not had a headache for 6 weeks, and that just doesn't happen. That does not happen. So I just want to say God is faithful. He has walked me through all the times. He has been faithful through all the times, but I am just very much praising him that it's gone.
How long was it again?
About 40 to 45 years.
40 to 45 years of that, and yeah. Gone. Wow. Praise the Lord. Does that not just get you excited? And in fact, before we even move on, and this really goes into that last song, Amy, you just every week, just and our worship leaders just do such a phenomenal job at leading us into God's presence. But how do you follow up a testimony? Because here's the part. Testimonies have a, just like our prayers have a prophetic ness to it. That what you pray is what, guess what? That's what you're going to see in your life. And in that same measure, testimonies become a prophetic nature that when often points, as we give testimony to it, you're going to watch people with that same need see it answered. And so this morning, if you've been struggling with migraines and headaches, we want to pray for you. So if you this morning, if you've been battling it, maybe you have one even right now, if you're watching at home, I encourage you just to stand up in your living room, wherever, however you're watching it, wherever you're at, we're going to pray for you. But is there anybody here this morning that would want to be prayed for migraines, headaches? Is there anybody? Pastor Stacy, step out. Anybody else? Lisa, step in the aisle. If that is you, would you just step in the aisle right where you're at? Is there anyone? And Helen, step into the aisle. So you see the people standing. Would you go to them if you don't mind? So you see the people standing. So I'm asking the church, go to those who are standing. And this is part what I watch with some of the movements that God is doing currently across the country, is this is not about the person who prays for the person. But it's the church in operation, like in moments like this, we gather around those and we will believe that God will touch and heal. Amen? So stretch out your hands for those who are standing and let's begin to pray. Let's pray for God to do an amazing work right now. Lord, thank you for what you did in Gene's life. We praise you. We thank you. And God, we say, do it again. Father, you see those that need deliverance, a set free from headaches and from migraines. And right now, in the name of Jesus, God, we speak healing in the name of Jesus. Headaches, be gone in Jesus' name. Healing, be restored. God, we pray relief from every part, the tension, wherever that is released in the body that needs to, that releases that headache. Let it be an alignment unto you. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' mighty name. God, for those watching online who are struggling with migraines, God, touch them right now in their living room. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we speak healing. Restoring in Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's believe God for testimonies. Believe God for what He wants to do. And, Lord, thank you. So today we're going to dig into this prayer. And as we do, let's just keep believing God every week. God, just keep revealing yourself more to us. So today we dive into praying for God's kingdom, His will, His purposes to be done. Read with me Matthew chapter 6, looking at verses 9 through 10. And verse 9. Pray then like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, as we're studying this pattern of prayer, and we're really additionally with a desire for God in this next season that He has for Calvary Church to revive us, to refresh in us. God, give us a great awakening in this area. We're believing God's presence to be so powerful that it captivates people, not just when they're in this building, but wherever they're at. God, may your presence touch us. May it captivate us. Jesus loved to talk about the kingdom of God. He loved to talk about the kingdom of heaven. And when we come to what is that all about? Let's unpack it. We could go through a lot of different entire chapters I'm just, for the sake of time this morning, we'll just stay in Matthew, but go to Matthew chapter 13, and let's look at a couple. Chapter 13, verse 44, the kingdom of heaven, as Jesus described it, is like the treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up, and then his joy as he goes and sells it that he has and buys that field. Have you ever found something valuable? You know that joy? That's what the kingdom of heaven is like. Look at Matthew chapter, look at just the next verse, verse 45 through 46. The kingdom of heaven is being compared to a pearl of great value. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like the merchant in search of fine pearls. And on finding one pearl of great value, went on to sold it that he had and bought it. And then earlier in that same chapter, verses 31 through 32, Jesus likens the kingdom of heaven to a seed. And what's interesting is he chooses out of all the seeds, he picks some of the smallest that's out there, which is mustard seeds. Look at it in verse 31. He put another parable to them saying the kingdom of heaven is like the grain of a mustard seed that a man took and sowed into his field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is much larger than all the garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air can come and make nests in its branches. From small beginnings becomes a large tree. Jesus continues, verse 33. He told another parable, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven or yeast, that a woman took and hid in three measures of flour until it was all leavened. See, the kingdom of heaven acts like yeast. It permeates all things. And not much later in Matthew, in the passage that we're reading today, not much after Jesus is teaching them the Lord's Prayer, look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. He said we should seek first the kingdom of God, and then all these things will be added unto you. One more instance where Jesus is talking about the kingdom of God. And we'll go out of Matthew. Mark chapter 10, verse 15. Truly I say unto you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God is like a child. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God is like a child, shall not enter it. The kingdom of heaven must be received just like a child, with childlike faith. Like a child who trusts. See, Jesus peppers the kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven throughout his earthly ministry, but what is it? Let me give you a definition. The kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, we see in the Greek for basileia is the Greek word, which simply means the reign of the king. It's God's authority, it's God's sovereignty, his saving, royal, all-encompassing rule. It's people and places that are all under the rule and the reign of the king. So when Jesus begins to pour out in this teaching and in this prayer, Lord, your kingdom come, Jesus is saying, God, may all of your reign come. Your kingdom, the way, and that's where in this prayer, Jesus doesn't leave it with, Lord, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. But he even qualifies it even more. Just like in heaven, let it be done on earth. So in the same way, God, you dominate the heavens, may you dominate earth. For us to go into a new season and what God wants to do, really what we feel like God wants to do in this region, in this church, but region, this part of our states, it's one of the strategic natures I feel like for Marinette and Menominee to be at. We're not just two cities, two states. It's strategic. That God, may a fire be started here that captures two states. May God's reign be in this area. So what does that begin to look like? How do we begin to pray this prayer that, God, your kingdom come? And so to do this, I feel like I need to teach a little bit on to really help us focus our prayers so that we could see what God wants to do in this region. And so I'm going to take you back to college. So I'm going to use some of the last Evangel University class that I taught, and it really was my favorite class to teach at Evangel, was Adolescent Ethnography. Fancy title, right? Fancy title, academic title, for this. It's the study of culture to bring the gospel to it. And if God, as we're praying for a great awakening, even more than just a revival, and for God to revive our hearts, the whole heart behind it is so that more people can know who God is. And that's the gospel at work. So how do we see the gospel just roll in our region and dominate our region? Some of it is understanding the culture that we're in. And so I want to take a few moments to bring this, because as we identify areas of culture on how to pray for God's kingdom to come, all of his reign, we need to understand what our culture is in our city, in our area. And let me give you a definition of what culture is. Culture is the patterns, learned and shared behavior, and beliefs of a particular social, ethnic, or age group. It can also be described as the complex whole of a collective human beliefs with a structured stage of civilization that can be specific to a nation or time period. See, it's vital that we're aware of the patterns that occur in our culture here, so that, one, we can clearly communicate the gospel. In other words, we can relate to the people we're trying to connect with. When we understand culture, the different patterns of how people act, maybe different words that they use, the way they dress, and that's why you can even have a main culture, but a lot of different subcultures within it. That's what not only this area has, our nation has it. But it's vital for us to be able to know culture, to be able to share the gospel. But secondly, as we pray, we begin to start to see some, not only behaviors that are visible, but God will start to reveal the spiritual behaviors behind it. And the strategic structures that build culture in our area, we can begin to, God give us some eyes to see so that we can influence these key streams that seem to influence our culture here. One of the parts I enjoy is being part of another team, the John Maxwell team. John Maxwell is a leader who teaches leadership, and John Maxwell gives this. So if you go to the next screen, he begins to identify eight streams of influence that influences a culture. So what are some of the main parts, main pieces that tend to do it? So you can see the eight streams: government, healthcare, art, media, education, our schools and colleges, businesses, faith, sports. That's where teaching the class to youth leaders, this is the part where I love doing it at Evangel, because it's like you want to stay in this game for the long haul. To reach teenagers, you want to be able to stay relevant with teenagers, you need to know how to study culture. Because as you get to, and what's fun is it's not that hard to really study, you start having conversations with people. So like if you really want to know, how can I really start to get into the culture of this area, it's conversations with people. It is the best way. You could read books, you could listen to podcasts, you can listen to other people talk about it. Experts that would pull up on stage that are local historians on the area. But if you really want to know culture, it's studying people. And some of the parts I can tell youth leaders, future youth leaders, study teenagers, what they wear, why they wear it, what they listen to. Sometimes you can go beyond conversations because you can look at what they're wearing. You can start to hear different things that they listen to, and it becomes real. Let me give you a different take on understanding culture. This comes from Bill Johnson. He's the pastor of Bethel Church, which is in Redding, California, and it is a former AG church. But look at this. He gives seven mountains of influence is what he calls it. And even as I introduce this, I just want to give a caveat, because there's some that take this doctrine or these seven mountains of influence, and they kind of create a doctrine about it that I just want to just let you know I'm not advocating. So if you did some more studying on this, I'm not. I'm wanting you to just be able to see. You can't throw, there's certain parts with different things. You don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. There's some good parts to this. And he identifies, I feel, correctly. John Maxwell, that I just shared with you, does it through a business leadership lens of looking at culture and its influences. This is coming much more from the faith spiritual side, which I feel is more adequate for us to pray. Look at the seven, family. The second mountain is religion, economy, education, government, arts and media, science and technology. So similar to what I just showed you from John Maxwell, but different. And I want to give you my take so that we can step forward into how God wants us to pray for his kingdom to come. So praying for, and part of this too is when we start to understand culture, we will be better influencers to influence culture. See, my desire for this church, for the youth leaders, when I was teaching the class at Evangel, is I just want to help you to be the most effective person as a believer as you can be. And in this new season, God's going to, this isn't going to be a move often. That's just it. A real move of God is not just built on church services. You're going to have moments, you're going to watch in this next move that God does in this country. It'll be literally as you're having coffee with your neighbor. You're going to have moments in a store. You're going to have moments around a bonfire. There's moments. There's just moments that we can have where God and his sovereignty and his spirit will just show up. And when we begin to identify these areas and begin to pray, God, dominate your presence in families in this area. May you build families that are on you and on your truth. When we begin to pray, let your kingdom reign in families in this area. May the drugs and the alcohol, the divorce, and all of the causes of the divorce, may they be broken in Jesus' name. Let your kingdom come. Do you see how we can focus a different way? So go to the next slide. When we're praying for influence, I want us to be praying for family and marriages. Marriages are going to be one of the biggest, quickest ways that the enemy will love to go after the family. That's why the Fun Marriage Workshop is why we are hitting it hard. It's why we will bring that workshop here next February in 2025. We will host it. Because families and marriages are vital for the strength of the church. And often points you'll have couples that you just get to a point, you know, where actually this is the good thing to know about all of us. All of us need this. Like Pastor Stacy and I will tell you, we need this. Because it's just like any instruction. If you want to be good, you always have to be a good learner. You never attain it. The greatest athletes in their field are always trying to learn something new because they always know that there is a better way that they could do what they do. And we need to apply that same mindset to our marriages and to our families. We can always get better. And we can always learn new skills. And so as we begin to pray, God, help us in our families. Pray for us as an ability to parent better. Pray for the people that are dealing with the leftovers from divorce, the hurts, the fractures, that they would be able to see a God that will help rebuild their life. Pray for singles that at point they're complete, that they really understand you're complete. as a single. Celebrate it. Lean in on that. God, you are making me into who you want me to be. For those doing ministry to orphan care and foster care, praise God for you. The ministry that you have. See, that's praying for influence, that we pray, God, let your kingdom fall on marriages. For religion, for essentially faith, I love the faith word. Lord, help us to be the voice of you and what you want to do. Help us to be the voice to be able to tell others what Jesus has done. Help us to be that voice of what you're doing actively today. We can be celebrating. So you might have this happen this week. You'll be at Walmart and you'll be at work and you'll have a conversation and somebody's going to be talking about migraines. I pray God gives you that conversation this week. Because it's like, hey, you know what? At church Sunday, guess what happened? There was a person that had been struggling for 40 years with migraines. And God touched them. And it was just a simple prayer. Can I pray for you and with you right now? Trust me, if they're struggling with migraines, they will do it in a heartbeat. Let's pray. God, give us real faith. Help us to be a faith that is showing a live wire. Praying for influence. Thirdly, economy. We pray that, Lord, we serve. We live and serve in a system that produces, distributes, and consumes wealth. But may we do what we do with heaven in mind. God, may we do so with your purposes in mind, not with greed, but with generosity. Yes. That's why I love this church. That's why I see the potential for Calvary. Knowing your history of how you have served others when you've had a need, you see it, you build a home. That's why I loved what we did this last month with helping St. Vinny's, with helping the Marinette Middle School. See, when we begin to pray for the economy, and this is why on the back of the sanctuary, back right up by the windows back here, we have some sheets. I want you to list out your businesses. If we happen to have some farmers, ranchers that are connected to Calvary, I want you to put your name, first and last name, on there. Because we want to pray for you. We'll be putting out a prayer guide with these influences. But on the back, you'll be able to list out, and that's why I want our businesses and employers, as many as we can list in this community, and we pray for them by name. God bless them. Empower them. Help them to have a great environment within it. God, may your kingdom come to bring a positive environment into these businesses. Bless them so that not that we just get blessed, but that we could be blessed to be a blessing into this community. We're praying that the employers that employ you will be blessed so that as God inspires you, you can bless others. And this church will be blessed to bless others even on a greater scale than what we've been able to do before. And there's also a place that we could be praying for those loved ones that that need to have salvation or a spiritual renewal, and we just put their first name, and if you want to put a last name, initial, do that. But help us develop that prayer guide. We'll want to have it out here within the next couple Sundays. Quickly, a few other parts of praying for influence. We want to pray for education. We want to pray for our local schools. This fall, we'll have a Sunday towards the beginning of the school year. I want to invite the local high school principals and school superintendents here so that we can celebrate some of the things that they're excited for that new school year, and then find out ways we could pray for them and as a church continue to pray with them and for them. We want to find ways that we can also serve the local schools and just let them know we're in this together to build a better community. But as we begin to pray for our schools, God's going to give us a heart for our schools, and it's going to give us an influence in this community. We will only gain influence as we pray and then begin to relate, and that's part of where I can't wait for the day that we have a youth pastor who keeps connected with our local schools. And just know we're on the search. Pray with us for that. But in education, it is a key level. We need to pray for our local schools. We need to pray for our teachers that truth will be taught in our schools. We need to pray for our administrators. The stuff that they have to deal on a daily basis. Teachers in the classroom on a daily basis. Coming out of COVID, so many want to quit. May we find ways to bless and encourage them. And that's why our prayers matter, is that they stay engaged to make a difference in this next generation. Quickly, fifth, government. Government exists to protect its citizens, and it's actually designed to be the benefit of the citizens, not to dictate to the citizens. And that's not political. We just want good government. Government is designed to help assist, to build, and serve to people. And so as we pray for our governmental leaders, help them to govern well. So as we pray for them, we encourage them, and we're going to find ways to serve the government in our communities. We will find ways that we can do things as a church to serve our communities. And some of it will begin with relationships. And guess what? That's part of is we just will endeavor to start relationships just to let them know Calvary Church exists to be here. So when a crisis comes, guess what? Our parking lot's available to help be a critical response location if it needs to be. We can give some of the tools that God's already blessed us with. Sixth, arts and media. We were going to believe to God, help us to see the arts and the media in this area reflect your glory. Seven, science and technology. What's so fun is even with the foundry, we're creating parts. There's a creation aspect to it. God bless the creativity of the foundries, of all the different tool and die manufacturers. I mean, there's parts. It's kind of fun when you talk to people in that business because there's some parts, it's like, yeah, this isn't going to quite work. We're going to need to figure out a resolve. And they get creative. And why not some of the best innovative stuff start to take place in Marinette? Because of the creative people working on a project, all of a sudden a similar project, like building military ships, all of a sudden they have to go to some other locations because it's like, hey, Marinette figured out something on this. We could learn from it. It's the blessing of God. And so when we begin to pray for influence, God's going to speak. He's going to create. Why not, even when I think back to arts and the media, music, why not some of our people be some of the next great worship leaders, music leaders, be raised up from our church? The music that could touch the hearts of people. Why not? It's trusting God. When we begin to pray, God, your kingdom come. God, your kingdom. When we're praying that, God, your kingdom come, your will be done, just as it is in heaven. When we begin to pray that prayer, that heartbeat, God, do your work in my life, because it's your kingdom, not mine. God, it's your will, not mine. God, you can raise me up in my place of business. You can help me ascend, not because of any motivations or movements that I do. God, you do it by your divine place. You do it by your divine hand on my life. Help me to find promotion. Let me have your favor on my life. When we begin to pray with this heart, when we begin to pray, God, take away the greed in this area and give us generosity. When we begin to pray, God, will we replace supremacy with servanthood? God, help us to see in this area forgiveness over resentment. God, in this area, help us to uproot egocentric natures and replace it with altruistic ones. God, help us. Your kingdom come. God's kingdom is of one love, of light, of mercy, of justice, of forgiveness. It's of grace that can reach to the depth of the human soul. So when we're praying God's kingdom, we're talking about God reign in the lives of all these influences, but most importantly, into the lives of people. What I love about this prayer, as Jesus teaches it, is there's no if in it. Amen. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. It's not, God, if your will. Have you ever found yourself praying that?
Yeah.
I'm guilty, all right? There's moments I'm catching myself. Stacy, Pastor Stacy, we catch ourselves a lot. We're like, if? Yeah. We'll do it. Some points, well, maybe God. It's the great outlet, right? Okay, God, maybe you want to do it, maybe not. But if you do, let your kingdom come. God, let your power be at work. Let your will be done. So when we begin to pray, God, your will, your power, it's amazing. So as we've been traveling in this prayer, I want you to capture something because there's some incredible aspects to it here. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, keep your name holy. So think of these first couple petitions in this prayer. Lord, let your name be holy. Your kingdom come. Those two will only happen if we get to the third, when we break our will. When we go from, God, your name being holy in my life. Your kingdom, your reign in my life will only happen when we allow his will to dominate our life. His will will help us to see his reign take place in our life, and we'll see his name made holy. And in the same way, this, when we begin to do that as a church, when we begin to live this pattern and pray this pattern, guess what? It's going to influence this church. We will influence each other. Seeing God's name be glorified, his authority, his reign in our life will begin to ripple out like never before. If I could have the worship team come. As we're praying through, to the degree that we pray that God's rule and reign will be reigning in our life. And so really this is a two-part prayer series or a two-part message. This week I just really wanted to accomplish the ripple effects of our prayers and how we could be an influence. When we're praying this prayer, God wants his kingdom to be established deeply in this area. And next week, we're going to talk about how God's kingdom, his will be done in our personal life. And part of that, as we begin to dial in of how God wants to do an influence in and through us, he wants to use Calvary Church to influence the many mountains, streams, spheres, whatever you want to call it, to culture in this area. He wants to empower us to be able to bring honor to his name, to reveal to others how great he is so that they can experience the love and the forgiveness, the provision, the relationship of God as our Father. He so desperately wants to see that happen in this area. More than me, more than you, God wants it to be accomplished. God wants to bring a next great work of his power and presence to this area. And we need to be saying on a personal level, God, let it come. Let your kingdom come. The tense of that Greek word basileia, the descriptive way of putting it, is like setting your foot down. So it's not like saying, Lord, let it just float down. It's God with authority. Come. Come in our church. Come in my life. Let your reigning in my life come. Let your will be done. To the degree it is in heaven, let it be accomplished here on earth in my life. Let it come. That's our prayer. Would you stand with me this morning? Watching online. If you're here today or watching online, God wants to show you how he can reign in your life, in every part of your heart. But the very first start, the very first place to go is to open your heart to allow God to lead your life, to allow him to be the savior of your life. It's the only way to heaven, the only way to see God's best in your life is when we surrender our will and our place of every aspect of our life to him. But you have to invite him, his kingdom, his rule into your life. It's the starting spot. So if you're here today, the number one priority and position of your life is knowing Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and you know you need to rededicate yourself to that, or maybe for the very first time, you know, I need to surrender. Just know he's here today to say, welcome home. I am ready to do a work in your life. Just surrender. And if that's you today, I just want you to just lift up your hand in my direction. I'll want to pray with you. Is there anybody here today for the very first time? You want to invite Jesus into your heart and life? We all do it at some point. Thank you. Maybe you need to rededicate yourself to the Lord. I want everyone to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for being faithful and committed to me. Forgive me of my sin, doing things my own way. Come into my life. Be my leader and Savior. Forgive me for my sin and doing things my own way. Do a new life and a new work in me. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, if I could have our anointers, those who are prepared to pray, come. And if you prayed that prayer, would you do me a favor? There's something different about, I'm just going to tell you, there's a difference that if people will make a step from praying that prayer and leaving, look, God heard your heart, all right? He's heard you, he's responded. You've made a connection, but I just want to encourage you just to take a moment to take a step of faith, because what you do physically will affect you spiritually. And if you really made that commitment as a newness, a new way God could assert his kingdom, his will and power in your life, is taking a step that as we go back to a time of worship, I just encourage you to find one of the people up here and just let them know, hey, I prayed that prayer. Whether it's for the first time or rededicating yourself, we have a Bible we want to give you some helps as well to help you on that new walk with the Lord. And so please make sure you do that, because it's really going to be a key to take that new step forward in your life. That's what it's all about. And as we go back into a time of worship, I encourage you to, in fact, let me go to Psalm. If you can pull up that slide real quick, this is a good way as we go into this time is when we're asking God's kingdom to come into our life. Psalm 139 puts it well on what our heart should be. Lord, search me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. See, when God's kingdom comes, when his will comes in full power, on full display, like in heaven on earth, here's what's going to happen. There's going to be a part that we just kind of see where we miss it. We'll see the awe and the majesty of God, and there will also be parts where, God, I can see where I fail. And when we embrace and step in, God, search my heart. When we encounter God in the depths of his presence and to the depths that we're praying that we would see a great awakening, when we begin to pray this prayer, God will start to show us, oh God, different parts that offends that we never noticed before. But lead me to the path of everlasting life. And here's the difference. God will always lead you. When he convicts, he leads you to him. When you're condemned, that's the enemy speaking to you. So when you're feeling like, oh, I'm a loser, oh, I can never do anything right, you just need to know that part is not God talking. He'll help convict areas that it's like, yeah, you've blown it here, but you need to know I love you. And that pit is going to be your message. That pit is going to become a pillar where I can tell people, just like a testimony of healing from a migraine, God will give you a healing over those areas as a testimony of his goodness and grace that he wants you to be able to share with others. When we begin to lean in on this in worship to God, it's going to be a powerful moment. So can we pray, take a few moments, let the worship team play some songs, and as we step into worship, pray, God, let your kingdom come fully in my life. Search me. Know my heart. Lead me in this way, and lead us as a church to influence this culture, to reach this area for you. God, we start at the very beginning. Search me. So as we go into this time, I'm not doing a formal dismissal this morning, but as we do, just know we're always praying for the blessing and the goodness of God on your life. And as I pray this prayer of blessing, in fact, too, as we go into this time of worship, our anointers are up here, not only for those who may have prayed to rededicate themselves, but look, if you have an ailment, if you have some things you just want agreement with, guess what? We want to pray God's kingdom to come in your situation, and we will agree that his power, his kingdom, his will be done in your life just as it is in heaven. God wants you to be healed. God wants you to find victory. God wants you to find the power and the presence that he wants to display in your life. So we pray this blessing and we go into worship. Lord, we pray your blessing, your power right now. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May you smile on you and be gracious to you. God, we pray, show your favor and give us your peace. And God, may your kingdom come. May your will be done in our life, in this church, just as it is in heaven. We give you the glory. We give you the praise for the building of your church, and reflect the glory in our lives. In Jesus' name.